And now, we want to continue with our studies in the book of Ruth. I'll read again some verses from chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, reading at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead, and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now the last verse of the chapter, So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to thee again, and we remember that thou art the God that takes note of the rise and the fall of great empires, and also thou dost mark the fall of a little sparrow. Nothing too great for thee to control, nothing too small, but thou canst take note of it. And we believe, O God, that thou dost know all about every one of us. Thou art the God that looked after Ruth and Naomi. Grant now, as we read and study these precious verses, that we shall hear thy voice speak to each of us. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in a past study, we drew the dark, dark background to this great story of redemption set before us in the book of Ruth. We made special note of the fact that in the nation there was failure, in the family there was failure. But remember that Ruth was not of the nation of Israel. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was an outsider. And yet the whole story of these four chapters revolves more or less around the young woman that gives her name to the book. Now, at this particular section of chapter 1, we are brought face to face with what the grace of God can do for an outsider. Now, it's remarkable that even her mother-in-law, who was Naomi, when she was left a widow, as her husband had died, and she was left with two young widows, for her two sons had died, and here are three widows, all in the land of Moab, but while she was there, she heard. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm glad that this woman, in the depths of her sorrow, still had an ear where she could hear the news concerning what God was doing for his people. For she had heard in the land of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know, my friend, it's a good thing when we're able to incline our ear and listen to what God has done and what God is doing. Again, I emphasize this great truth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why Elimelech and Naomi had left their home in the first place was because there was a famine. Now the famine came, you will remember, because there was failure with the people and God's hand came upon them. But when God's hand comes down upon his people and chastises them, it's always with a view to correcting them. So at this particular time, there must have been a restoration. There was repentance on the part of the people and restoration by God, because now the famine is past and God's hand is opened again in blessing. And she heard now that God had visited his people in giving them bread. She heard of the blessings of the Lord upon his people in the land of Judah. And the moment she heard that, she decided she was going back to the place that she had left. That's a good thing. Am I speaking to someone today who has been out of touch with the Lord? Am I speaking to someone who has drifted away all because there was failure? Because you got your eyes off the Lord? Because perhaps you got your eye on some particular person and you followed that person? And you found yourself away from God, outside his blessings, so to speak, and you have not been enjoying things? My friend, let me remind you that God still has blessings for his people. It may be that God is waiting for you just to turn backward again. What a day it must have been in the life history of Naomi when she turned her eyes back again to the land of promise, when she set her foot moving towards the country of Judah, when she was going back to the land of bread, where God was blessing his people. My friend, let me tell you, it's always an outstanding day in anyone's life if they've been out of touch with God, when they can get down on their knees before the Lord and put things right again between their soul and their God. But remember this, Naomi had been a backslider. She'd gone with her husband down to enemy territory, living in a place that was not well-pleasing to God. A lot of Christians do that. But Naomi has now turned back towards God. Oh, it's a good thing when there's restoration. But now, what about these two young widows? Now notice, Naomi, even yet, while she herself is turning her mind back to the things of God, and she wants to get back to the place where God had blessed her in the first instance, nevertheless, she's not quite a good influence on those two young women. For there comes a time when she says to them, "Why do you want to go with me? Why don't you return each to her mother's house? Go back again to your own homes. Now pray that the Lord will deal kindly with you." Now that seems a good thing to do. But then the thing is this, she wants them to go back again and find husbands back in the land of Moab. In plain words, does she want these girls to go back, these young widows, and look for ungodly men, idolatrous Moabites, and to become linked with them for the rest of their life? That seems to be what she's suggesting here. Go back and find a husband back in your own country. Now, it's at this time where we discover the difference between these two young women. The one who was called Orpah, she was moved to tears. She wept. But while she wept, nevertheless, she bid farewell to Naomi. She lifted up her voice. She wept. She kissed her mother-in-law, and then she returned. They had come to the parting of the ways, standing no doubt at a place where they could lift up their eyes and look back to the land of Moab. or they could look from the hilltop and look over onto the territory of Judah. They were at the crossroads. Decisions had to be made. The proposition was placed before them. Would they go on into unknown territory, or would they go back to their old haunts? Would they go back to their old manner of life? Here was the crossroads in life. It may be, my friend, that some are listening to me right now who are standing at the crossroads. You have decisions to make, and you don't know what to do. You're looking back at the things of the world. You're looking at what the world has to offer. Or you're thinking, perhaps, of what God has to offer you if you live the life of a believer. Will you go back to the life of unbelief, or will you step forward into the life of faith? Here are two young women. They've got much in common. They were born and raised in the same territory, brought up in the same environment. Both of them became related because they married two brothers. They both saw the day when they lost their husbands. Both of them had this in common. They were left as young widows. They're both standing with the same mother-in-law. The same proposition is placed before them, but the decisions they make are entirely different. Orpah, while she is moved to tears, willing to kiss her mother-in-law, nevertheless she turns back to the land of idolatry. She turns back to her idols. She turns back to the place where she could live in sin, turning her back upon the country where God had given bread to his own, bidding farewell to Naomi, her mother-in-law. It's sad when a person is brought to the crossroads in life, where there is laid before them the issues of life and death, where they're brought face to face with eternal realities, and they know perfectly well that they ought to get right with God, when they know that they ought to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a sad, sad thing to see people shed tears, broken down, and yet making the choice, making a deliberate choice, to continue in the life of sin, to continue living their lives without God, without Christ, and without hope. But oh, we're glad to say that grace worked on the heart of this young woman called Ruth, she who gives her name to this beautiful book. And now our attention is drawn to her, where it distinctly says that Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law. She clave unto her. Listen to her vow of consecration. Here is the faith of Ruth expressed in these words. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. O the Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now here is the vow of consecration by this young widow named Ruth. Now let me point out here that when she says, where thou goest, I will go, here was a path with a new direction. You know, it's a good thing when people can get the right direction in life. Her sister-in-law got the wrong direction. She went back to idolatry, back to the enemies of God's people, directed in the wrong course. We need to get the right direction. You know, even if you're traveling along the highways at times, you need to get the right direction, or you'll never reach the correct destiny. So therefore, we need to have the right direction. Now, when it comes to life, we need to be directed into the path of life. We need to be directed into the path that is well-pleasing to God. Ruth got a new path with a new direction. She said, where thou goest, I will go. That's wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ, while here on earth, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, have you got the direction? I remember reading concerning a missionary who was called Dan Crawford. Dan Crawford was a great missionary in the continent of Africa. He was a man who went on the same path as David Livingstone had gone. He was a successor, in a way, to David Livingstone. But Dan Crawford, one day, was trying to find his place from one village to another. He got a little coloured boy to lead him, and he came to the point where he couldn't see any pathway, and he stopped and he asked the boy, he said, are you sure this is the right road? And the boy said, yes, follow me. Later on, Dan Crawford said, but look, I can't see any pathway here. There's no marks on the ground whatsoever. How do we know this is the right road? How do we know we're on the right way? And that little coloured boy looked up into Dan Crawford's face. And with a smile, he said to him, I am the way, follow me. He wasn't to look for marks on the ground. He was to follow the little boy who was his guide. He said, I'm the way, follow me. You know, I don't suppose that little boy knew anything about what the Lord Jesus had said at that time. But the Lord had said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I ask you, my friend, as you listen to me today, have you got the path that leads you in the right direction? Where thou goest, I will go. She goes a little further and she said, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Here was a place for a new dwelling. See, up till that time she had been dwelling in the land of Moab. Her home was in the midst of those who were the enemies of God's people. But now she was changing her dwelling. She was going to lodge now wherever her mother-in-law lodged. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. A place for a new dwelling. You see, this is where Elimelech had originally been dwelling. But when he was in a backslidden condition, he went away down to the land of Moab. He got out of the circle, as it were, of the will of God. But now, here is this young woman, Ruth the Moabitess. She has made her decision. She's got the right path leading her in the right direction. She's going to the place for a new dwelling. She's going to be dwelling now in the midst of God's people. My friend, how does that come home to us? I'm not talking now of the house that you live in or the town that you live in. I'm thinking of how and where we spend our lives. How do we dwell? Where do we dwell? Do we dwell and spend our time in the midst of those who are God's enemies, those who are the enemies of God's people? Now, God is very interested in where we spend our time. Not only how we spend it, but where we spend it. And now she says, and thy people shall be my people. Here were to be a people for a new relationship. Up till that time, she had a relationship with the people of Moab. In fact, Naomi spoke to her about her mother's house down in Moab. But now she says, no, I'm turning my back on Moab, turning my back on the idolatry of that country, and I'm going to associate with a new kind of people, and I'll have thy people to be my people, a people for a new relationship. I want to ask each listener today again, with what people do you associate? I've never been able to understand how people who profess to be Christians can find any enjoyment in the company of those who blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been able to understand how Christians can sit in a filthy movie house and listen to some of the things that are said there, and watch some of the things that no doubt are shown there. Not that I've ever seen them, but the fact is, when I see the advertisements for them, that's enough for me. And when I hear what others are saying about them, my friend, thy people shall be my people. Do you find your enjoyment in the company of Christians at a prayer meeting or at a Bible study? Or do you get more joy in the company of those who are unbelievers? Remember this, God is interested in where we spend our time and how we spend it. Thy people shall be my people. With whom do we spend our time? And then she goes a little further and she says, and thy God shall be my God. Here was a persuasion for a new worship. When she was down in the land of Moab, no doubt she was religious, but would be worshipping the idols of Moab. Now she's been delivered from that, and she's coming now with her mother-in-law into a new country. She's coming to dwell with a different kind of people, and she's going to worship the living God. Thy God shall be my God, the God who had visited his people, the God who was giving bread to his people, the God who could supply the needs of his people. That's the living God, and she's learned this at least from her mother-in-law, that her God was a living God, so therefore she says, thy God shall be my God, a persuasion for new worship. She goes a little further, and I like this. She says, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now this faith, expressed by Ruth, brings us to the point of fidelity. She says, I'll stand by you, I'll be with you now, and I'll stay with you until death do us part. Here is her vow. A lot of other people have taken that kind of vow, until death do us part, but they haven't kept their vows. That's the sad thing. But here's a woman that takes a vow. Their vow is taken with her mother-in-law and before God. But may I suggest, here is the prospect for resurrection. There will I be buried. You know, my friend, when you go to the burying ground and you pay your last respect to someone you've known. If it's a Christian, someone that's known the Lord, you bury them always with the hope of a better resurrection. According to 1 Corinthians 15, we're told there that the resurrection is a certainty. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive again. Here's a young woman who has grasped what it means to exercise faith in God. And she says, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. She wanted even to be buried in the same place as her mother-in-law, in the hope of the better resurrection. This was the prospect that lay before her. Not only would she go into the new territory and live with new people, and she would worship the living God, but when death came, she wanted to be buried there, looking forward to the day of a glorious resurrection. Having made that decision, and no doubt it was grace that led her to do that, all of grace, we find in verse 19, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Here was fellowship. See, it started with faith. It led on to the expression of fidelity. There was fellowship, for they two went until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Then when you come to the end of the chapter, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. There you have fullness. And the barley harvest is the first of the harvest. And following the barley, there will be the other things. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful thing it is when a person gets right with God. What a choice this young woman made. What about you?